May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Hubby was reading the morning paper when his wife let out a big sigh. "What's the matter?" he asked. She replied, "It's that newlywed couple across the road. Every morning she comes down to the front gate with him and he gives her a great big hug and a passionate kiss before going to work." With that, she turned around to him and demanded, "Why don't you do that?" "Good Lord, I don't even know the woman," he replied. Today I'm finishing the series of sermons on anger, and today I'm focusing on ways of handling anger and conflict within marriage. All of us get angry, whether we care to admit it or not. And in a marriage situation, conflict is inevitable because a husband and wife are distinctive, different persons living together in an intimate and shared life. Under these circumstances, unless one of them is prepared to be completely dominated by the other, conflict is bound to arise. When real conflict arises, it is rarely resolved by sitting down, having a nice cup of tea, a chalky Tim Tam, and a pleasant rational discussion about the problem in hand. Often, a little emotion called anger tends to fuel things along nicely. Now, those of you who aren't married, don't switch off, because what is being said has relevance to other close relationships as well. Many times, the romantic glow of the honeymoon is interrupted by angry words as the couple really start getting to know each other. As the primary school student who was studying African culture and arranged marriages said to his dad, "Do you know, Dad, in some parts of Africa, a man doesn't know his wife until he marries her?" And Dad replied, "Why single out Africa?" So what are some of the common ways of handling conflict within marriage? I'll mention five. Firstly, the all-out battle of verbal escalation, where neither party is aware of the other, but aware only of their own agenda and announce it in ever-increasing decibels, where because of the anger, there is little chance of any resolution. I remember preparing a couple at St Matthew's Wanneyasa for marriage, and I asked, "How do you resolve arguments?" And she replied, "I yell and I yell until I get my own way." So I said, "What are you going to do when that doesn't work?" She didn't seem to have any strategy in place for that eventuality. Secondly, there's the submissive. This can be either husband or wife, where with anger suppressed, they comply sweetly to all the other party's demands. The emotion of anger is overrun by another emotion, fear. Fear of the marriage relationship not being able to withstand conflict. Thirdly, silence. When one or both retreat into complete non-communication about a particular matter. The song written by John Williamson, "All Australian Boys Need a Shed," epitomises this. One of the lines from the song says, "To think about what his woman said." Now, I know it's an overgeneralisation, but the basic truth stands. The average Australian woman will win a verbal stoush because mostly she is aware of her feelings, recognises them, and is able to verbalise them. Whereas the average bronze Anzac usually doesn't recognise feelings, is unable to verbalise them, and retreats to his shed to process the conversation. And that's okay, provided he emerges from his man cave and returns to the conversation later. Wives can also be good at expressing anger through silence. Ladies, how many times have you banged a few plates around the table or thrown some washing up around the sink? What about hanging onto your side of the mattress with fingernails turned back with enough room between the two of you to drive a Mack truck down the middle? One of the best silences to cover anger is the wife who speaks to her dog as if her husband isn't in the room. "Yes, Fido, we will have tea together tonight and that nasty man can get his own." Fourthly, physical. It includes, at its mildest, door slamming, plate breaking, cat kicking, or tragically, at the other end, domestic violence. When we hear those tragic stories of man kills wife and kids and then suicides. That's anger, totally out of control. Just before I arrived at my parish of St Mary in the Valley, a fellow had lost control, totally, and had killed his wife and three children. Anger gone totally over the top. And after it was all over, all he could say was, "My God, what have I done?" Fifthly, chronic depression, where either husband or wife become unable to express their anger and show signs of being chronically depressed. They feel trapped and may even feel suicidal. The anger has just been turned inside onto themselves. They feel that their partner wouldn't understand their anger, therefore it's pointless to them to try and even express it. All of those 5 points are wrong in resolution of conflict within marriage. We need to learn the art of marital fighting, and I'm not talking about a judo course. When conflict arises, it's better to fight it out than to bury it. If you suppress strong negative feelings towards a person with whom you are seeking a close relationship, you defeat the whole purpose. You accumulate smouldering resentment beneath the surface. This forces you to erect a wall between yourself and your partner. If you go on doing this, all vital communication may come to an end. This is far more harmful to the marriage than an occasional angry explosion, which in most cases tends to clear the air. Most people believe that marriages get into trouble when a husband and wife fight each other. But more and more marriage counsellors are taking the opposite view, that many marital troubles actually stem from the fact that couples don't fight, but bury their anger. That statement's valid to a degree. There'd be nothing worse than living in a situation of constant conflict. We read in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9, "Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife." Might be all right in the summer, but not on these winter nights, thanks. But fighting, properly handled, helps a marriage grow stronger. The great advantage of bringing conflicts into the open is that it forces you to do something about them. And if you care at all for each other, you will want to find a way to resolve them. It's healthy for a married couple to know exactly where they stand, to feel that hot hostility that is the other face of love. In my marriage prepare course, which I use with couples, there's a whole section devoted to conflict resolution, and a couple of the questions are: I do not always share my negative feelings with my partner because I'm afraid he, stroke she, will get angry. If you continue to skirt around issues, sooner or later, for fear of your spouse getting angry, you will explode when you can't contain it any longer. Then there will be two very angry people. Next question. When we're having a problem, my partner often gives me the silent treatment. That's just a bit of good old manipulation. I only ever got the silent treatment once. Well, what's the big deal about forgetting your wife's birthday the first year you're married? I've never forgotten the last 51, however. But who forgot our 51st wedding anniversary a fortnight ago? It wasn't me. But you will be able to see me later in the year from Hollywood as I receive my Oscar award for feigned hurt and disappointment I enacted for the rest of the day. Now, some of what I'm going to say next wanders around under the heading of conflict resolution, but I'm looking at situations where anger is involved. Rule one, find out what you're really fighting about. Anger against or with a spouse isn't recognised as a respectable emotion in our society, so we become very adept at displacing it. Married couples fight over trivial issues, like where to put a pound of sugar. I kid you not. My good friends, Daryl and Helen, were married in Darwin in a Roman Catholic church, and the priest in preparation said to them, "One day you'll have an argument over a pound of sugar." And they thought, "Don't be ridiculous." Anyhow, went on the honeymoon, came back, went down the shop, got the provisions, came back. He put the sugar on the second shelf. She said, goes on the third. He said, goes on the second. She said, goes on the third. And next minute, they were right into it. And they stopped halfway through and looked at each other and thought, oh, the priest said one day we'd have an argument over a pound of sugar. Little things build up, trigger it all off. At least that becomes the focus of the fight. What happens is that some irrelevant detail touches off emotions and creates an explosion. So it's vitally important, if you find that what you're generating more heat than the occasion calls for, is to find out what the fight is really about. This may mean a later post-mortem, not of a body, but of the issue. Some people don't know and can't find out what is stirring up such intense hostility between them. But surprisingly, if you are able to sit down quietly after the battle and allow the anger to ebb away, honest self-examination will make clear what made you so angry. It may take great courage to admit to your partner what the true situation is, but if you don't, you may have to choose between wasting time and energy on fruitless bickering or slowly drifting apart. Rule 2, know what you're fighting about. Keep to the subject, don't drift off into an orgy of general name-calling and abusiveness. If you're angry because your partner lied to you about how much money he spent, don't hesitate to show how this has hurt you. But don't widen the gap by adding, and what's more, you haven't mowed the lawn for 2 weeks and you promised to repair Johnny's bike and you haven't done a thing about it. This piling up of accusations only confuses the issue. Be angry. Let your partner know how angry you are, but be very specific what it is you're angry about. Rule 3 is to make your point. Don't hold back until he really understands what you're getting at. But remember that conflict is a two-way process. Let your partner make their point too. In other words, listen to what is being said. Not easy, but not impossible. If the person you married is angry with you, you can be sure there's a reason. It may be quite complex. Go over in your mind the hard things said. Look for that core of truth. You'll usually find that there's a valid reason people are angry, mixed with a lot of apparent reasons that maybe are of little importance. That's the other thing. Sometimes one party sees something as very important, and the other party thinks, just dismisses it, out of hand, not important to them. But when you find that valid reason, face it honestly. It could even lead to a turning point in your marriage. And I digress just for a moment. It must also be recognised in our present society that we are seeing the first signs of the long-term effects of the usage of more powerful and toxic forms of marijuana and now the drug ice being manifested, where anger and rages are uncontrollable and often not even remembered after the event. That's a very different proposition and outside what I'm talking about this morning. The fourth rule is to time your battles as carefully as you can. When people lose control, it's often because they're tired or desperate. You can't, of course, stage a marital fight as you would a lunchtime appointment, but when a fight threatens to start in the wrong circumstances, sometimes it's best to pull away before the tension gets too high, which in itself could create or cause more anger. Rule 5 is to keep your quarrels private as far as you can. Squabbles in public can have repercussions that hurt deeply, and there's always the danger that friends and relatives will take sides and join in, compounding the confusion. Don't fight if you can avoid it in the presence of the children, although there's no need to go to the other extreme and give them the misleading impression that married couples never disagree. I remember my rector when I was a teenager telling me how he'd visited a couple, and over afternoon tea she said they'd been married for 60 years and had never had a cross word. Hubby came in and dropped the teapot. Well, she said it all that afternoon. 60 years' worth. One of the characteristics of marital fighting is that there are no knockouts permitted. So there is quite an art involved in bringing the encounter to a close. As the emotional tensions discharge themselves, weariness and general relaxation follows. And one good way to achieve this is to begin a little bargaining. All right, I know you get angry with me when I write checks and don't fill in the butts. If I fill in the butts from now on, will you pick up your jocks and socks from the bedroom floor? A minor concession offered in sincerity can open the way for recovery of a deeper communication in the relationship. When the bargaining process starts, don't exploit concessions by stepping up demands. Remember, a concession is hard to make. Accept it with gratitude and be generous in return. If hubby swallows his pride and agrees to fold his pyjamas, call it a day. Don't say, "And what about the toothpaste cap and the desk and the clutter in the garage?" Sure, keep them on the agenda, but hold them over for a later meeting. After the bargaining comes, the time for making up. One psychologist has suggested that many couples fight because subconsciously they want to recreate the conditions of their first falling in love by an enforced separation followed by a happy reunion. Yeah, well, maybe. But there's certainly an ecstatic bliss in rushing into each other's arms after a period of estrangement. So when it comes to making up, do it in a grand manner. This is the time for free and full forgiveness, for magnanimity. There is no sweetness like that of togetherness, like that which follows reconciliation. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your scriptures, because within them is contained all we need to live fulfilled lives. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ's example of righteous anger when he spoke out against hypocrisy and injustice. I pray that the teaching series on anger has been helpful to the hearers and has given understanding and perhaps the tools to deal with situations of anger in our lives. We commit to the process of conforming more and more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I should say that, like the ads on TV, if any of what I've said raises issues for you, please talk to me or Connie or somebody that you feel comfortable with.